Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Sermon on the Mount is one of the greatest New Testament teachings from Jesus, that he himself is teaching us what it means to live in him, in the new covenant, our vision for this year, the new covenant. If you have your Bibles or you want to turn there, you can. Matthew 5, you may just want to listen. The New King James Version is what I'm going to read this first passage out of today, because I like some of what is said here. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is teaching us a lot of great principles here. Don't think he came to abolish, he came to accomplish the law, to accomplish the purpose of the law. Every law that you read, Jesus is saying, that's all about me. It's pointing to me. It's every detail of the law is pointing to me. I love these words, jot and tittle. Not words that we use, but they're words that he was saying, every little part. And see, in that language, little marks and little asterisks and different things on words, if you took those out or you didn't have them, you could change the meaning of the word. Yeah. A jot or a tittle. And he said, leave that in there because you don't want to change the law. Every one of those are significant and specific. Jesus was saying, the law is a teacher, but not teaching you how to make it. I'm how you make it. But the law still can teach. And I want you to know today, the law still teaches. And it teaches you what you can't do. You can't make it. If you're trying to make it based on the law, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And Jesus was telling them, you've got to recognize that. See, the law was their God. Yep. They didn't look to God for what. They looked to the law. And when they kept it, they were in better standing, not just with God, because they'd met the requirements to be in standing with God, but it was teaching people, if you can meet this, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all these people, they're all sitting here trying to reach a level to make themselves better than everybody else. Right. Still a problem in Christianity. If I can just do it, then I can be better than so-and-so. I shared this before. I want to share it again. I want to say this because I want you to get it. The law was like a muzzle on a dog. When you place a muzzle on a dog, what happens? It can't bite you. And when you see a muzzle on the dog, what do you think of? If you're looking at that dog with a muzzle on it, you're thinking, man, I'm glad it has that muzzle on it. Because if it didn't, everybody around here would be in trouble. What happens when you take the muzzle off? Everybody around there is in trouble. Why? Because the muzzle, all it does is keep what's in the dog's heart from coming out. That's all the muzzle does. Put a muzzle on a dog, it's not going to bite because the muzzle's there. That's what the law was doing. It was keeping people from acting out on what was in their heart. That's what the law did. That's what it's just a great illustration. The heart was still bad, but the muzzle kept them from acting out on what was inside the heart. Right. Yeah. And it explains the Pharisees from that day. Jesus teaching the same thing he started the sermon with. Here's how you operate. Here's the way that you're blessed. Here's what's going on. Jesus is teaching his people, and he's teaching us today, how important it is to examine your heart. The church does real good about telling you, here's what you need to do. You need to be in church every Sunday. You need to tithe. You need to make sure and do this. You need to do that. And we've got to be careful, because if we're not teaching about the heart, then you'll just hear the law on how much of a loser you are. And that's what the law taught, was you can't make it. And that's why Jesus came, so you could. It's an important aspect of Christianity that I think we fail at times to teach. See, Jesus is beginning to confront the law here. He doesn't relax the demand on the law. Actually, he raises it because he moves it from what the law says into what the heart should say. Let me stop there because you got to get that. They knew what the law said, but they were missing what the heart should be saying. And so he's teaching you a principle of how to examine where you're at. He's asking him, get the heart of the law because I have come to give you a new covenant. That's what we're talking about this year. He gives six examples. And he's straightforward, and I'm going to be straightforward because the word's straightforward. And I want you to know, everybody can amen where I've just said and what I've said up to this point, but when we start getting on some of the teaching on anger, adultery, divorce, vows that you make, revenge, enemies, they're big topics. And he gives examples from what they knew the law to say, and he's moving them to see what the heart should say about it. I want to remind you, these are the words of Jesus, not Ashley. So I want to keep my personal opinions about everything out because they don't matter and yours don't either. But Jesus made it real clear. And we have to understand what he was saying. We covered anger. And if you missed it, then go back and listen to last Sunday. But I want to start Matthew 5:21. Start with this part of the law today. I'm sorry, I said 21 and I meant 27. We're going to start in 27. You have heard that the commandment says... This commandment is what this one, this commandment says this. You must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The law says, Jesus is saying, here's what the law says, don't commit adultery. Well, we're pretty good at that. We're not committing adultery. I'm doing okay. I don't need to hear any more on this because I already got it. And what he's saying is, take it further than that. You're just looking at the law, and what I want you to do is look at the heart. Jesus is raising the standard. He brings it from law to the heart. Don't even look at someone with the wrong intent. Now, why are we preaching on this today? Because Jesus said it.
Right.
And it's important. And here's what I want you to know. I was raised, I have heard it in the Christian realm my whole life, a direct contradiction to this. Well, I can look, but I can't touch. You'll hear it. Well, Jesus said, wait, take this deeper.
Yeah.
It's not just about adultery. It's about what's going on in your head that's getting in your heart.
Yeah.
Ah, we're just window shopping. It's okay. As long as I don't indulge. You got it backwards.
Right.
Lust in the heart is the issue that will eventually lead to adultery. If you can take care of the heart, you won't get to the adultery in the flesh.
Right.
See, he's trying to get you to understand something that's really big. You can't want something in your heart and then not eventually act upon it. When you're wanting it in your heart and the muzzle's just keeping you from operating on it, the second you can get that muzzle off, you're headed towards it. It's a big deal. But we have lessened big deals because we want to know what we can and can't do, and we just want the freedom to do whatever we want as long as I meet these little areas. It's the same thing in everything in Christianity. We have an issue going on at school. We have an issue going on at church. We have an issue in a business. We have something going on. What do we first want to do? Well, what's the rule? What's the law? And so we've got a whole set of guidelines that we have to set up because everybody wants to know what they can do to get all the way right next to it without crossing it. And so we set up laws, but we never address heart issues. And the law is supposed to guard the heart. One of our founding fathers talked a lot about this. The reason the United States of America has been so successful is because he nailed it a long time ago. People that live in this great country have to be governed by their heart. They have to be governed from inside. And if they won't govern inside, then we'll have to govern from outside. Is a principle that just blew me away the first time I heard it. That's it. We got to set speed limits because people don't care how fast they drive without it. But when you realize that you're in a neighborhood, your heart would be, I don't want to do anything that would hurt any harm any of these kids in this neighborhood, so I'm going to slow it down. Well, what's the speed limit? Do you see how this works? It's just the way man works. We got to have these rules. We have to have these laws because we're not addressing heart. Verse 29, so if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is making some extreme statements here. If something causes you to lust, if something's causing you to sin and it's your eye, tear it out. If it's your hand, cut it off. He's not speaking about self-mutilation. He's saying metaphorically, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to deal with the sin that's going on in your heart and get it out. We've operated on the law. You can't meet the law. Let's get a little deeper and let's see why we can't do the law. It's because your heart's messed up. Some of you are going to have to take some extreme measures. Your right hand, your right eye. Everyone in that day and time must have been right-handed. He's always using right all through Scripture as an example. Or maybe it's this. Right is considered the hand of power. And what he's saying, you go after what you can based on your own power. And at some point, you've got to get an understanding that your power is not going to bring you into a place right. of blessing. You're going to have to let God's hand. Yes. And you got to get rid of doing it your own way and get your heart right, set on Him, and then you stop your own power. Yep. Well, what do I do about that then? Yeah, I don't know. After you've taught a whole marriage conference, you tell a problem and you say, okay, now here's what you do about it. And so that just kind of flew out. It's nowhere in my note. But here's what you do about that problem. It's an issue. So what do we do? Well, we take an app off our phone. We may need to get out of some relationships that are bringing us down. You need to cut that off. See, every time I hang out with them, I find myself in a place that I'm in sin and I don't want to be there. Well, cut that. You're going to have to understand. Changing a route home because you don't need to be stopping where you've been stopping. You're going to have to cut some things off to get your heart into a place where you can produce. Change a job because of what it's doing to you. Now, be wise about it, but you need to be looking for a new job. See, some extreme measures to make sure nothing defiles your heart. It'd be better for you, let me say, it'd be better for you to go to heaven as an amputee. Than to hell with everything in your life intact. Are you getting that metaphorically? Some may need to get a flip phone. These phones, you can cut a lot out of your life if you can just cut this thing out. Well, I don't know if I can live without it. We'll see if it's going to get you where God wants you to be. Because it can, but you're going to have to make sure that you're disciplined enough. And that'll only come from making sure your heart's in the right place. Same section here, verse 31. You've heard that the law says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. Okay, that's the law. Here's the law. A man can divorce his wife and they just got to give a written decree, a notice of divorce. But I say, that's Jesus, that a man who divorces his wife, unless she's been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. No one ever wants to preach or even address these verses in Scripture because it's so rampant in our world. And Jesus is saying something that we just miss. And I missed it for so many years of my life. I'm like, I don't get this. He's not creating new law. There was already a law set in place. He said, you got to get to a place where you understand this. When many read these passages, they think Jesus is condemning those that are divorced. And that's not what he's doing. He's addressing a problem of that day. The Pharisees had set up that you could submit a certificate of divorce for any reason that you wanted. Any reason you wanted, just go divorce them. He's addressing a problem. They had set up that if she burns your dinner, just give her a certificate of divorce. Just give her a notice and we're out of here. If you let yourself go and you gain just a little too much weight, that's horrible. But that's what would happen. They didn't care. It was all set up, man above woman. See you later if you don't do exactly what I want, and here's a certificate of divorce. And Jesus is saying, you've got this thing all messed up. In Matthew 19, you read later, some group of people came to Jesus and said, hey, the law says that we can divorce for any reason. And Jesus said, you've messed this up. That's not what it's supposed to be. He goes on to say, it's because of the hardness of your heart. He's trying to address a heart issue. Why this is tied together is because if you leave this in your heart long enough, it's going to work its way out and divorce will eventually happen. Yep. Yep. Deal with the heart. It's the hardness of the heart that leads you there. Don't look for all the reasons to get out.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that there's not concessions. Jesus gave one here. So it's not what he's talking. But we'll look for it in everything. And it's because we're trying to know at what point can I get out of this? And that's the wrong thinking. He goes on in verse 33. You've also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, don't make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will. Or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. I understand what the law says. Don't break your vows. And what I'm saying is you need to understand something. That's what Jesus is telling him. In those days, make sure that you're serious before you open your mouth. I make a promise, and it didn't mean anything unless you put something else with it. Now, I don't know. I know, I say I don't know. I know I'm not the only one who grew up in the 80s, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. And I would hear people say, in my school, I swear to God. I swear to God. It was a popular statement. And then they'd tell what they were, I swear to God, this is what happened. Swear to God. I heard it all the time. Earlier, it was, I promise to God. These are just statements that I grew up with. Moving forward a little bit, past my time, do you pinky swear? You pinky swear? Well, what's wrong with that? I'm fixing to tell you. Jesus made it real clear. See, we have hierarchy levels to our promises. So I can say a little bit of a lie, it's okay, but if I pinky swear, that lie becomes real. What? See, kind of like it's okay to break it when you're at the highest level of promise, or it's not okay to break it when you're at the highest level, but down here you can break it. I promise I'll be there. Why can't you just say I'll be there? Well, I said I would, but I didn't promise. Did you ever hear that growing up? I know I said that, but I didn't promise. That's from the evil one. Parents, help teach your kids this. Well, I didn't promise. I promised to God. Don't do that. Just say yes or no, I won't. He's not telling you have to say yes, have to say no. You just tell you need to say one or the other. And you don't have to add to that. I don't know if you're getting that, but it's a big deal. You've got to get past the law to a place where you understand. The heart should say yes, and that's what it means. Not based on a law that you have to do. It's a heart issue. Verse 38, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak too. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, don't turn away. Boy, Jesus just keeps on coming. He just keeps on talking. I know what the law says. He's challenging some hard statements that came right out of the Old Testament law that was put together by man. Some were in until they heard this passage. Turn a cheek and then give them the other to slap? That's not what I'm doing. I'm not doing that. The debate can be over if this is a backhanded slap or a front slap. He was speaking totally metaphorically or not. Let me just address some of these, because in that day and time, you have to understand what was being said based on culture. See, turning the other cheek refers to personal retaliation.
Right.
Not criminal offenses or acts of military aggression. Some will take this out of context.
Yeah.
See, in the big picture views of the cause of Christ, we've got to see what was happening here. Turning the other cheek means not to turn an insult with another one.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
I'm not going to return this to them in retaliation. What most people expect and how worldly people act is not what I'm doing here. He modeled this by not calling down revenge on those who crucified him. So what he's saying is, theologians, they argue this question all the time, but he's talking about turning the cheek for them. So listen, you can do whatever you want to me on the outside, but it's the inside that you can't get. The law says you can get revenge. Let the punishment fit the crime. That's what was going on in that culture, and we still teach this concept. If someone slaps you, slap them back. That's what the law teaches. But the heart, Jesus says, don't retaliate. Well, this is Jesus' words. Pastor, I don't know if I agree with you. You're not in a debate with me. Don't retaliate. Someone steals from you, give them more. Someone make you go 1 mile with them, go another. What in the world does that mean? Roman soldiers could come across and ask any Jew out there to carry their armor for up to 1 mile. That was the law. So any Roman soldier running across a Jew, I need you to carry this for me for 1 mile. They couldn't ask him to go any further. And Jesus is saying, if they force you, come on guys, if they force you to go 1 mile, just go ahead and say, hey, let me help you for a little further. Don't just meet the requirement of the law. Let's go a little further. Go the extra mile. That's where go the extra mile comes in. Go the extra mile. I know the requirement of the law, but Jesus is saying, I'm raising that. I'm the salt of the earth. Others will see my good works. You won't see them. Just by doing what the law says, you won't see them. But the extra mile, that's when you start seeing Jesus. Are you getting it? It's a big deal. He makes another statement in verse 43, just as challenging. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Some translations say, this is how they know you are known as a father or as a son of a father.
Yeah. Yeah.
For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?
Sure.
Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even the tax collectors do so? Can I stop right there when he says, don't even the tax collectors say so? Who is writing this? A former tax collector. I know it because that's what I used to do, Matthew. I mean, Matthew say this is what Jesus is saying. This, man, that was right to me. Let me go ahead and write that down. When you're taking notes, I'm sure Matthew's like, I better have that one in there. Because he's talking about me right here. You better understand. By law, people could hate other people. He said, wait a minute here. You don't want to hate other people. If you have to love your enemies, and then you even have to go on to bless them and pray for them, that would have been hard for Matthew to write down because the tax collector was hated. God had obviously moved on him to go ahead and fill that in his scripture. You're different now because you're dealing with issues of the heart. Jesus saying, I'm calling you to a higher standard. And I know this is hard because you might be thinking, I have to forgive when I have the right not to. I can't retaliate when I have the right to slap them back. I got to go 2 miles when the law says I only got to go one. I got to keep my word at all cost, even though I didn't promise. I can't lust even though no one really even knows. I can't be angry with my brother even though I come to church, smile and greet them and shake their hand. He's saying you got to deal with the heart. The law is supposed to transform the heart. But since we couldn't handle it, Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he gave you a new stinking heart. And that new heart should cause you to go the extra mile. Get rid of some hate. The whole law is fulfilled in Jesus because he changes our heart. He's showing them, hey, you think your way to God is keeping the law, but it's not through keeping the law that you will make it to God. That's not what you do. It's only through Jesus. It doesn't mean there are not laws anymore. Can I just stop here a second and take another route? We've done this in Christianity with salvation. Say this prayer and say amen, and you're going to heaven. But Jesus said, I've come for you to be able to get a different heart. There's a new covenant. So these are ways to examine you. I want to be real careful about it. So say this little prayer and then you're all good. Yeah. That sounds just like law.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
There's a death to an old heart. And a new heart, Jesus is saying, here's your new heart. They wanted to throw out the laws, and he said, no, it doesn't mean, because if you throw out the laws, I can do whatever I want. It's a great thing. No, it doesn't mean you throw the law out. It means the law got wrote on your heart. Yep. Now you're operating different. See, because of me, he said, I can live in you. I can work my way out of you. And you won't even have to think about the law because I fulfilled it all for you. I hope this is starting to make sense. Beautiful passage foreshadowing all of this in Ezekiel 36. I love this. Verse 25 of Ezekiel 36 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you'll do them.
Yes.
How can you keep the Lord's judgments, the things that he said, here's how you operate and do them? Only by getting rid of your old way of thinking.
That's right.
Well, I checked off. I'm in church today. If we're not careful, we're guilting everybody to come to church every Sunday so you can check it off. That's not why any of y'all need to be here.
Yeah.
You need to be here because Jesus transformed your heart, and I can't not be here.
Right.
I don't care what everybody else says. I'm going to be sitting in church this morning. I say that all the time, not to condemn or hurt anybody, but my heart's been changed. I want to be in church.
Yeah.
Wherever I'm at, I want to be equipped on a weekly basis. Why? Because there's a world out there trying to get me to think different, just operate on the law.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm doing. You let him remove that heart of stone that wants to be angry, still wants to lust, wants to commit adultery. I don't need a muzzle on this dog anymore. Come on, can you say that? Or are you just trying to operate based on checking off all these, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. You let him cut out the heart and you let him put a heart of flesh in it. You let him soften where you're at, to where it's not about keeping the laws. I don't even have to know the law. I can just tell you because I operate on a better side of it. Because of Jesus. We are not made righteous, come on, are you getting this, by keeping the law. We are made righteous to keep the law. We're not made righteous by keeping it. And so many think that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're made righteous by Jesus, and now, therefore, it's just kept.
Yes.
I don't have to think. I don't think about going out and murdering somebody. Well, how? Well, you don't know what they've done to me. You want to change that thinking? Then think different.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, how do I do that? Start blessing them and praying for them every day. You start blessing and praying for someone every day. It won't take very long, and compassion starts building in you. What happens? It's a transformation. But I didn't go kill them, so I've met the requirement. I get to do what God told me to do. But you still got hate in your heart. You still hate them. I hate them. I just hate them. All of these things are such a big deal. He said in his passage, the Holy Spirit will cause you to walk in my statutes and obey my rules. Not get rid of it where you don't have to do it anymore. The Holy Spirit will get you at a place where I just walk in this. And he closes the whole thing here, Matthew 5:48, last verse today. He says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, my Father in heaven would obey all of these laws, and he wouldn't just walk an extra mile. He'd walk every mile forever,
Helping
me. See, God has a different view. The word perfect, you'll be perfect like I'm perfect. What does perfect mean? Here's what it means in the Greek. It means complete.
Wow.
You'll be complete.
Wow.
You'll be complete. We're always looking for the next. What's the next? What's the next? You're complete. You don't have anything else to look for. How do you know you're maturing in Christ? Your desires are changing. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is starting to come alive for people. Old things passed away, all things are new, right? That's who I am. How does that happen? I'm a new creation in Jesus. The only way old things are passed away is not because you just said a prayer and then followed the law. You said a prayer and you got a new heart. Therefore, it's the old man. I spent all weekend talking about some of the old man, and I was sick after I got done speaking some, because I'm like, I don't even like talking about him. And then I reminded myself, I talk about him like it's not even me. Why? Because it's not me.
Right.
I'm not the old man. I'm a new creation, and I'm telling these stories, and I'm watching some of the women, and I'm talking about me being a former male chauvinist. I was a pig. I was a jerk. I get all of that. And so I start to tell this story, and I look at some of the women. They're looking at me like they wanted to kill me. I said, wait. I'm talking about someone who I don't even remember anymore. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Jesus. That's not me. So I don't even like talking about it. The only reason I talk about anything from that day and time, it's because that was a different person. And Jesus can transform whatever you've dealt with and bring you to a place. And don't think it's just so you can meet the requirements of the law. You'll never do it in and of yourself. You don't have enough power in your right hand. Did you get all of this? The power comes by submitting yourself to Jesus and saying, God, whatever you say. It doesn't mean you never mess up again. It just means that your desire is not to mess up. That's not my desire. I don't want to do that. He doesn't remove the law. He removes the desire to break the law or to get right at the edge.
Yes.
What? If we could teach that to our young people, quit trying to get right on the edge. Get a new heart. Help people to get away from the edge of the cliff they're getting ready to fall off of. My life's just in turmoil. Well, let's understand that Jesus came so it don't have to be that anymore.
That's right.
You don't have to live there. Remove the desire to keep, I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Well, what are you doing to change that? Well, I just don't think I can. I get that. You can't, but Jesus can help you and you can.
Yes.
So let me introduce you to him. He'll help you because he crucified himself so that you could have a new life And really, so you could crucify yourself.
That's right.
And say, I'm not that person anymore. Yeah. And I'm not talking about cutting off a right hand. I'm talking about cutting off things that keep messing with you.
Yes.
I don't do that anymore. I don't enjoy the things that one time I thought were fun. Now I've got a whole list of other things I think are fun. I really enjoy the life that God has given me. How can you? Because you don't do the fun things we do. You don't do the fun things I do. They ain't nothing more fun than just walking in somewhere, and I'm just talking flesh things, walking in and paying for somebody's meal. Man, it's such a blessing. Well, how do you get there? Well, I applied some biblical things to my finances, and God opened some windows of heaven I never thought would happen, and I can't even tell you. I don't come up and tithe to meet a requirement of a law. I come up and tithe because it lets me just share the goodness of God to people in every capacity I can. I love it. Can't tell you how good life is. And I'm not talking just in the physical. It's so nice to be able to walk off stage and go to my wife and say, watch her come back. Oh, honey. Man, that was wonderful. Now what are we doing? I don't know, babe, what do you want to do? I don't care whatever you want to do as long as I'm with you. Oh, that's sick. Oh. That's what you think. I hate it for you. Now, you can't have her, but God's got someone for you. I'm just telling you, we've got to get to a place where we allow God to do something supernatural with our heart. Get some things out of there that are messing with it. Let's get to a place where we can be God's people. And we can go out there and we can make an impact in every area that you're going out to impact this week. I hope you've been equipped this morning. Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.